And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 185, coming at you on a Friday afternoon. I had some parenting duties take over on Thursday evening that prevented the Thursday show. We were locked and loaded and ready to roll, and life happens. So everything's good. Nothing to worry about in that regard. Things happen. So we are coming at you on a Friday afternoon for starting pitching review part two. You can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at Ryan BHQ. Ryan Bluefield, how are we doing today?
Better than you last night. That was a fun scene to watch from afar, from very far. You trying to
especially when you've experienced it yourself.
I've been there many times. I was kind of sitting here hanging out. You were like, "All right, let's do it," and then you're like, "Oh wait, I heard a noise," and then your chair is just empty for a while, and then I heard screaming, and I was like, we should just we should just shelve this.
Yes, this is not going to work tonight.
Yeah, but no, I'm doing good. These like day episodes are a blessing in disguise. I just ate a sandwich, took a shower. Feel like
you didn't have to shower for the show. It's okay.
You know, it's a potentially new audience, the matinee crowd. So we got to look our best. I still kept the hoodie on, but got to look our best.
Nice. Yeah, no, we'll get you guys the usual goodness as always. And thanks for those. I know there were already some waiting for us to go last night. Apologies on that one, but we'll get you covered as usual. And barring other snafus, we'll be back with you guys Tuesdays and Thursday evenings as usual. But that is life. And no matter what, like we say, you're going to get you two episodes a week. That's how it rocks and rolls around here. But we also made an announcement on Twitter last week, earlier this week, and then on the show on Tuesday. For those that have not noticed yet, we do have a Patreon account for the show, and you guys are starting to fill it up, which is fun. The Discord's starting to get going. So at patreon.com/BubbaBloomPod, go check all the, or just Bubba Bloom on the Patreon. It's emails BubbaBloomPod@gmail.com if you're curious. Yeah. But any other thoughts on that, Ryan, as we're kicking things going? You dropped the post. I'm working on something that'll be, I think, very helpful once I get it done in the next day or two.
Yep, just dropped a post with all the bloom boards that we showed at the live show, and then I just did some kind of notes and thoughts on those boards, put that up yesterday, and then, yeah, you'll do your note stuff soon. But it's been a good week for the podcast. It's been really cool just to see. I think we got, like, a little over 20 people so far, and like you said, the Discord's starting to go. So I know it'll take some time to kind of build all that up, but appreciate everyone who has signed up already. It's really cool to kind of at least start to get a little bit of a swell there. So we won't try and plug it too much to crush your ears, but patreon.com/BubbaBloom. We're doing fun things over there. And again, it's just a way to support the show. We do this year round twice a week. So we'd appreciate you guys checking it out.
And one last thing I'll mention, as we will go over starting pitchers ADP 31 through 60 on this show. The next show, I'm going to say it's going to be Tuesday night, will be 61 through 90 plus some standouts. Then we'll head to relievers. By the end of the next week, reviews, donezo pretty much. So I wanted to mention that. But I wanted to throw this out here because finally got my first DC, Ryan, and I have just officially got on the clock.
Second. Oh, you're on the clock.
I just, as we're speaking, on the clock. I have the 13th pick.
You were four picks away when we went live.
I told you. We got Vlad Sedler in this one. I got Kerlin. We got Waxman, because what draft is Waxman not involved with? We got friend of the show Zito and some others in here. So at this turn, we've talked about it before. Acuna went right before me. We've talked about how this back end, and we looked at Meatball and whatnot. It's kind of fun, Ryan. So there's the situation. I could go Skeens or Scooble, which listeners of the show know, usually not my style. Let's be real about that. Where I think it gets fun now is Corbin Carroll, J-Rod, Lindor, and company. I think I got to go Corbin Carroll at 13 here, Ryan. That seems like something pretty darn good, especially with the finish we saw last year.
I think I'd go Carroll as well. I remember in our outfield recap episode, we did that kind of Carroll Julio comparison, and we both, I think we both landed on Carroll. I'd go Carroll. Interesting that Skeens and Scooble are both there.
Yep.
But maybe not that surprising. I think those guys, this early in draft season, we tend to see pitchers go south a little bit more. Plus, you know, the world is still recovering from that bloom board at First Pitch Arizona that had both of those two in the top 10 fastball velocity. I mean, that sent waves through the country. But no, I'd go Carroll, man. Lindor, who else?
I just took Carroll, but there's J-Rod, there's Lindor, Yordan, Jackson Churio is out there, Jaron Duran, Harper, Freeman, Trey Turner, so on and so forth. fit the bill there as well.
Yeah.
Yep. So four more picks and I'll be coming up again. So we'll do that live on the show for fun as well. But took Corbin Carroll. Like we mentioned, Skeens and Scoobal available. Not one pitcher in the first 13 picks. So have some fun stuff there as well. Like Scott Burks in the chat said he had the 13th pick. Went Carroll and Door. I love that start, honestly. That is something I'm debating, especially how we talked in our reviews about shortstop, even Ryan. It's good for a chunk and disappears. So to get a stud outfielder and a Lindor, like I legit have 65 plus stolen bases and 60-ish home runs if things go right in that mix with some decent batting average thanks to Lindor. So it could be a fun start. But
yep. Shout out real quick. Kevin's in the chat. He was hanging out last night waiting for us. So what's up, Kevin? We missed you at First Pitch Arizona this year. Golf was not the same without you. And then we've got Uncle Ted, of course. Boycott righty bats. So that's the new strategy for this year. That as a lefty, I appreciate it.
Yes, me too. Shout out. All right, let's do it. Let's talk SP relievers here, or SP starters.
SP relievers, let's go.
Man, here we go. See, I did not have lunch before the show, so this will be real fun here. But
did you shower, though?
Yes, first thing this morning. I actually worked this morning. I leave my house for work, so yes, that actually took place.
Throwing darts at me. Jesus.
All right, SP 31 through 60. Ryan, just real quick, in case anybody missed the part one, what are we looking at when we see this board?
Yeah, we're looking at the list sorted by preseason ADP in the main event, which again took place mostly on in late March on the NFBC. Ordered by that preseason ADP, and then we've got the 2024 rank according to the Fangraphs player rater, the end of season rank, along with their color-coded stats. So we can see ERA, WHIP, and strikeouts. Probably should have thrown wins on here as well, but it's always a fine line throwing too many numbers and colors on these things and trying to keep it simple. So 31 through 60 is an interesting group. I just as a higher level takeaway, and again, this is just looking back on 2024. This is not to say this will happen again in 25. That's what our preview episodes will be in about a month or so. The 31 through 40 group performed extremely well. All but two out of the 10, all but two of them out-earned their ADP according to where they finished in starting pitchers. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them finished in the top 30. That is that turned out to be a very fruitful pocket. And then it pretty much went to hell after that. There was not much in the 40 through 60 tier, at least from what I'm looking at. We've got Brian Wu, who I know you're excited to talk about, who was like the 53rd off the board, finished 24th. That was the highest finisher in the 41 to 60 group. So 31 to 40 was awesome. If you went 80 between like ADP 120, 150, which is like 8th to 10th round and 15 teamers, maybe 9th to 11th in 12s, that was great. But then it kind of died quickly after that.
Yeah, and it's also going to be a range. It's interesting because there are not a lot of like overachievers, I'd say. There are a lot of, if they're your SP4 pluses, which depends on where you drafted, they still fit the bill for you. Like they ate some innings, or they did that or the other. Like, but none of them were, if you waited on pitching that long, which you shouldn't have, not many would, for instance, you were getting crushed on this one. And a lot of it also came down to is some of these guys from, like you mentioned, 41 through 60 are people like, these are my sleeper guys. Not a whole lot of sleep and took, or they stayed asleep. Let's put it that way. They didn't wake up. If you were trying to make them your sleeper picks for the year. So we'll get to those. Let's rock and roll. J-Rod went right after Carroll, by the way. So that was fun. All right. ADP 31 with an ADP of 120 in the main events in 2024. Michael King of the Padres finished 16th at the position. Outstanding year. 2.95 ERA, 1.19 WHIP, 201 strikeouts in 173 innings, almost 174. That's outstanding. Ryan, I know we had innings concerns with him coming up, that big jump going from reliever to starter late for the Yankees. Dude threw 70 more innings. He made 30 starts last year. It's insane what he did. He's going to be added to that list of pitchers we've already talked about and we'll talk about that had that massive innings bump yet again. But King was he outperformed expectations like even imagined.
Absolutely. And that was the question heading into 2024, because King did make, I want to say, like 8 or 10 starts at the end of 2023 and look great, but it was coming off a 104 inning season. So it's like, what does that full workload spike look like? And Michael King answered that with flying colors for all the reasons you just mentioned. I'll just add that King did not slow down at all in the second half, actually bumped up the strikeout rate, fewer walks, pretty big bump in swinging strikes. So like this guy did not limp to, you know, have a hot start and limp to the finish like a, I don't know, like a Ronaldo Lopez or Garrett Crochet, even though that limp to the finish wasn't necessarily his fault. Just really impressive for Michael King to not only hold up the skill gains over an entire season, but to actually improve in season. One of many bullpen to rotation success stories of 2024.
Most definitely. So impressive stuff. Looking forward to seeing how that shakes out this season. And this is, I remember last year we talked about it, like you could have picked this guy or this guy. This happens a lot in this range, by the way. A lot of guys sitting right next to each other. Chris Bassitt, 32nd off the board, 120 ADP, same as Michael King. And a lot of people thought Chris Bassitt much safer, safer floor, so on and so forth. Bassitt entered last year going 208, 181 the year before. We saw ratios, ERA in the mid threes, like all these great things. Not so much this last year, Ryan. Finished 123 at the position, ERA over 4, whip close to 150, which is atrocious. What's your thoughts on what we saw from Bassitt? Because the age 35 season might have been an indication that age was finally catching up with the big man. I also know there's other factors. The floor is yours.
I mean, it's also just, yeah, what do we know? Because on like every podcast preseason, probably including ours, when you look at King versus Bassitt, it's like, yeah, I'll just take the safer volume play with Chris Bassitt. We'll be fine. King's a little too risky. And yeah, look how that happened. Another year of decline for Bassitt. The K-minus walk has now dropped 3 years in a row from 19% in 2021, precipitously down to 13% in 2024. I get all these good words in the middle of the day.
Middle of the day. Mine's fresh.
Man, yeah, somewhat fresh. But control escaped him. Bassitt, that was the big thing. More walks, more balls, and fewer whiffs. So it's just like things are not trending well for Chris Bassitt. Sometimes that means it bounces back, but you bring in the age factor at 35. Things are more likely to keep going south than as opposed to rebound. So a very tough year for Chris Bassitt, especially when he was sandwiched in between the aforementioned Michael King and then Carlos Rodon, two going right after him, we'll talk about next, but two pitchers who were thought to be much more risky than Chris Bassitt. And again, what do we know?
Yep. What do we know? And you mentioned Rodon, 33rd pitcher off the board, ADP of 121. So this bubble, same area here. At least if you took him instead of King, it wasn't the end of the world. Where Bassitt was, Rodon finished 32nd at the position, so you can live with that. 3.96 ERA, 1.22 WHIP, 195 Ks and 175 innings pitched. And Ryan, when it came to Rodon, it was like a roller coaster at times with him this season. June, horrific. Got a little better, still not great. Finished the season on a very, very high note. So what's your thoughts on what we saw from Rodon? Because I've always been kind of anti-Rodon due to so many injury concerns throughout his career. In the end, did pretty well, especially in that also pivotal strikeout department.
Yeah, and I mean, talk about like, we want to talk about a Michael King inning spike. What about Rodon, who not only like was hurt all year last year, but like the skills were absolutely, absolutely terrible. So Rodon had to do two things. He had to last the full season healthy, and he had to kind of correct a skills collapse that we saw in 2023. And he stayed healthy. 175 innings is freaking sweet. And the skills didn't go all the way back to 21-22 when he was like a legitimate top five pitcher in baseball, but they were still pretty damn good. The ERA indicator is actually a little bit better than Rodon's 3.96 ERA. The whiffs came right back. So, I mean, the only kind of, well, I shouldn't say only, I'm still concerned about the injury history. Again, that's just probably the way we both think about pitchers. But I mean, everything outside of like a pretty heavy fly ball rate for Rodon looked really good. The nice thing about Rodon is he went back to dominating lefties again last year, which given his home park in Yankee Stadium is a big deal, because if you struggle against lefties in Yankee Stadium, that usually means a ton of dongs, and we don't like a ton of dongs.
No dong parties on the show. No dong parties. All right, the 34th pitcher off the board, ADP of 122, still in this pocket, was one Nick Pivetta. Finished 67th at the position, 4.14 ERA. WHIP was good, though, 1.13 and 172 Ks and 145 innings pitched. This is a Pivetta who we saw in 2023, Ryan. Things were rough, then they started using the opener, pitch mix change, finished the season strong. For the most part, carried it over to 2024, not like to the same dominance we saw at the end of 2023, but serviceable pitcher. He's now giving you at least 142 innings in four straight years. I know we want more, but still, that's a not a bad floor situation. So by no means is Pivetta like an ace, but he's been very serviceable now for 3 to 4 years.
Yeah, and even like I don't think this was necessarily that bad of a pick. And full disclosure, I am a Pivetta supporter, so like trying not to infiltrate my bias here, but for Pivetta to miss a month of the season and still finish 67th when he took him 34th, like that's not the end of the world. This was just more Nick Pivetta, right? Like the skills are always there, the results kind of any starting pitcher last season with a 4+ ERA, minimum of 80 innings, the highest strikeout minus walk rate of any pitcher that did that, Nick Pivetta. But and that's what, probably why I'll be a sucker again next year and be back in, because the skills are absolutely there. The home runs, unfortunately, have also been there. Homer to fly ball rate has been elevated pretty much every year in his career. And at some point, I keep saying that we'll come back to major league average. Maybe it just doesn't with Pivetta, and that's who he is. But great year for Pivetta from a skill standpoint. Again, if you have the best K to walk of any pitcher with a 4+ ERA, you have my attention.
Yep. No, that's actually big boy stuff. K to walk, as we know on this show, is our jam. So that's always a thing. And I believe the Red Sox gave him a qualifying offer too. They want to bring him back for some scratch. So yeah, interesting stuff there as well. All right. The man on this board, the one we all care about the most, finished highest on this board, just ousting one other guy, one Shoto Imanaga, ADP 128, 35th starting pitcher off the board, finished sixth at the position, 2.91 ERA, WHIP just above one, 174 Ks, in 173 innings pitched in his first season in the U.S. playing Major League Baseball. Still very bitter that this contract he signed was so insanely nice that the Giants couldn't do that. But amazing season from Shota. And I'll let you have the rest because I know you're a big fan of his as well.
This is one where it paid off to listen to you entering the season, right?
Wow, clip that, everybody.
Every now and then. Every now and then, you were very high on Shota. Just interesting that I know injuries were involved with this, but preseason, there was like no debate between Yamamoto and Shota, like who would be the better pick. The ADP was so far apart between those guys, and Shota outperformed Yamamoto. Again, Yamamoto missed a ton of time. I'll bring up first half, second half splits again here because like I did with Michael King, because in King's case, it was like, how did he handle the higher workload? In Imanaga's case, it's how did the league adjust to Shota Imanaga, seeing him like the second, third, fourth time around. Skills actually got better in the second half. K to walk went from 20 to 21%. So slight improvement, more whiffs, more first pitch strikes, more Ks, fewer fly balls. Like as the league got used to Imanaga, didn't really matter. And that for me, that second half, really not only just holding what we saw in the first half, but actually improving on it a little bit, gets me really excited for the 2025 prospects for Imanaga. But man, top 10 season in your first season in the majors is pretty damn good. And I think he had the 2.91 ERA, but I think he had a 10 earned run game.
I was just about to say, okay, Let's not forget June 21st, the day that will live in infamy.
Oh, I remember.
Day game versus the New York Mets. 10 runs and 3 innings pitched with 3 strikeouts. Yes, that was a bloodbath. So when Ryan comes out with his usual bloom boards of, can we erase that one stat situation? Man, what could have been in theory with Shota on that one?
Even had, so like 3 starts before that had a 7 earned run game, but
yeah, he had like that month window. It felt like where it was a little rocky, where he just seemed dominant the rest of the time.
Yep.
So, hey, could be growing pains for him as well. There's a lot of that kind of stuff. So, you know, and I just, the thing with Shota, one of the concerns I know we've talked about on this show and others have is when, you know, foreign players come to the U.S. and have to adapt and all these things. And Shota was on like the McAfee Show and MLB Network. He was loving life. He was doing interviews, talking about pizza and like all kinds of, like, he was adapting better than I've seen most. And it was pretty cool to see. So it was fun.
It is. He is one of the more fun pitchers to watch, like pitch in a game, just his reactions. Like when he gets smoked, he's like, yeah, that was kudos.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, there's nothing to really not like about Shota in any way, shape, or form. Congratulations, Cubs fans and Sarah Sanchez, as you get to enjoy that for quite some time. Merrill Kelly, 36th pitcher off the board, ADP of 129. You could have picked Merrill Kelly over Shota, folks. That would have been fun. Kelly finished 103 at the position with a 403 ERA, 117 WHIP. So, you know, not horrible, all things considered, but 63 strikeouts in a whopping 73 and two-thirds innings due to injuries. So thoughts on this one, Ryan?
And this is one, and maybe I need to kind of look at this more at a macro level, but like this predicting starting pitcher injury thing, like I was very in on Merrill Kelly because the skills were good in 2023, but also was coming off a 200 inning season, then 177 last year. And then, you know, I thought this was one of the more stable guys around, similar to like a Chris Bassett, who we thought had a super high floor and was super stable. Both of these guys kind of shit the bed. So Merrill Kelly, again, it wasn't really the skills that were that bad. Like the strikeouts were way down, but again, he's hurt. You don't want to look too much at the skills. And I believe it was a shoulder. So it's just trying to predict this stuff is very, very hard. I would have smashed the over on 73 innings for Merrill Kelly before the season, but it's tough, and now he's old and coming off a shoulder, and I don't know. It's kind of sticky.
It is a scary situation, to say the least. I'm with you on that one, but maybe the price is right. Life will be good. 37th pitcher off the board, fell quite a bit due to some preseason injuries, was Sonny Gray. ADP of 133, finished 23rd of the position. I had a lot of Sonny Gray this year. Dude had a 3.84 ERA, a 1.09 WHIP, and The most surprising thing about the entire season from Sonny Gray, 203 strikeouts and 166 in the third innings pitched. Yeah. That is the second 200K season. The other one was in 2019 and 175 innings. Otherwise, it's usually a middle of the pack strikeout guy. So massive bump this year, Ryan.
Massive bump in Ks, supported by a pretty big bump in swinging strike. The last 3 years for Sonny Gray, it's gone from 9 to 11 to 13. And league average on that is right around 11. So Sonny Gray is doing things. The big driver behind that is his sweeper. Sweeper is one of his best pitches. It's his best pitch. It's one of the best pitches in baseball. He had a 26% swinging strike on a sweeper. That is among the best you'll see in baseball for any pitch. Throws four different pitches. Basically 20% of the time. So a nice, well-rounded arsenal. I think the other takeaway that I've got with Sonny Gray is you mentioned the kind of the injury concerns entering the season. It was a hamstring. And yes, Sonny Gray missed some time early on. I think missed a start or two. But I thought the ADP drop was a little bit severe with that. Like once the hamstring was fine, he was good to go. It's not an arm thing. Once he was healed, he was good. So that's probably another takeaway I've got. If we've got more spring training kind of leg injuries, like Justin Steele was another one. It wasn't spring, but had that hamstring in his first start of the season, came back and was just fine. To not overreact too much to that stuff.
That's why I was buying on the Sonny Gray. Like you said, it was nothing to do with any shoulder, elbow, anything. So I'm like, I mean, let's do it. It was like a couple years ago, Musgrove broke his toe with weights. I'll take the dip on Musgrove the whole time. We're talking about that. Gray, I was all about, and it worked out this time. And I agree, usually should based on the type of injury. All right, the second best pitcher on today's show due to stats from the 2024 season is one of the amazing pitchers in the Mariners starting rotation, Bryce Miller. ADP of 137th was the 38th starting pitcher off the board, finished 7th at the position, a 2.94 ERA. The whip is just a thing. It's like more cowbell in Seattle, 0.98 whip. All these boys just bring the whip. Like we'll talk about Woo, another one below one. These guys are nuts. 171 Ks in 180 innings pitched. The pitch mix change is well documented, Ryan, this past year. So what do you got on Bryce Miller? Because it was very effective as well.
It was. And that pitch mix change was the old Seattle splitter. As I like to say, every single one of these guys like throws a new split finger. And for Bryce Miller, it worked really well because entering the season, Bryce Miller was basically just had an elite fastball and nothing else. threw the new splitter almost 20% of the time, got a bunch of whiffs, got some ground balls. That really helps. He is, and this is a Kevin Gausman formula for success. Like, there isn't really a third pitch there. The sinker's really bad. The sweeper's not good. But you can live off four-seam split and do quite well. That said, with Bryce Miller, I think he's going to be a little bit too inflated in 2025. Like, the Sierra, which is our ERA indicator of choice, was almost at 4.380. This guy, you mentioned the whip with Bryce Miller, but it was a 2.37 BABIP. That is so low for starting pitchers. I don't think that happens again. And really, the K-minus walk, like, barely above average strikeout rate. Good control, but, like, I don't know. I feel like we're going to bank on a repeat for Bryce Miller, and I don't think it's going to be there. But hell of a season for him. I just think there was a little bit more luck involved than most think.
Yeah, you'll still be good. Like, it's just the price you're going to have to pay now is different. Like, in Thomas's scenario, he traded 1 year of Logan Gilbert for 3 years of Bryce Miller. He missed out on Gilbert's year last year, but got Miller plus 2 more years. That's a great trade. Like, in a keeper type situation, that's a phenomenal trade. There's nothing, even if Miller regresses some, which he should, that's still probably pretty darn good. I'd be pretty pumped on that. So, great season. And again, we'll talk about Wu pretty soon and just keeps rounding out this Mariners situation. At the same ADP as Bryce Miller was one of the most popular pitching names discussed at First Pitch Arizona, and that was Hunter Green at an ADP of 137, 39th pitcher off the board, finished 14th, a really good year for Hunter Green, had a surprising 2.75 ERA and a 1.02 whip. Not sure which one's more surprising, but both very, very much so. 169 strikeouts in 150 innings, not as surprising, but I just say the whip and ERA because the dude's been a 4.5, basically, give or take some ERA in his first 2 years. And the whip's 1.21 and 1.42 before this last year, Ryan. So what are your thoughts on Hunter Green? Because this was one of those, kept the ball in the ballpark and look what happens.
Yeah, good things happen. I don't think he'll keep the ball in the ballpark as much next year. 7% homer to fly is extremely fortunate, especially in Great American Ballpark. League average is 12%. I would expect that to shoot right back up. It was 16 and 14% the previous 2 years. So some luck involved with Hunter Green. And then, I mean, we have to talk about, right, he missed a lot of the second half with that elbow. He just throws so hard, and that's why he was on the fastball velocity Bloomboard, missed 40 days with an elbow. Did return, but I think only made one or two, like, abbreviated starts in the second half. So that will probably have me off Hunter Green next year. But still, for Hunter Green to finish 14th with only 150 innings pitched, a 1.02 whip, like you said, that I think that's more surprising than the 2.70. I mean, hell, they're both surprising, but great year for Hunter Green. I just I don't think he repeats it, and I don't think he repeats 150 innings.
Very tough to buy back into that one. Very, very tough. A guy that I do like, I've always had a soft spot for, because I just love the floor he brings to the table. And hey, we said that about Chris Bassett last year, so I'll take that caveat every time. But Jose Berríos had an ADP of 144. He was the 40th pitcher off the board, finished 28th at the position. Again, like I said, phenomenal floor, could have been a great SP3, 3.60 ERA, 1.15 whip, and 153 strikeouts. Now 192 innings, so it's a thing with, it's always kind of been a thing at least the last 3 years, strikeouts with Berríos, but he's still only 30 right now. He'll be 31 this season. It feels like he's been pitching forever. He's been in the big since 2016, but outside of one drastic year in 2022, we've kind of gotten the same blueprint every year with Jose Berríos.
That's what I'm looking at. So Berríos' ERA the last 4 years, 3.52, and then the disaster, right, in 2022, 5.23, but then came right back to normal, 3.65 and 3.60. So, like, and that's not really a Berríos-specific takeaway for this year, but for other pitchers out there, drafting with, like, some wild performance spike in 1 year, take the longer view and try not to focus too much on one season. It would have helped immensely with Jose Berríos entering last season. And yeah, was good for him to continue that in 2024. Still doesn't do anything well, except just pitches a lot, which has value because you can get Ks. And if the ratios are good, like they've been again for three of the last four seasons with Berríos, you know, everything else is going to fall in line. So it does. Someone that does not excite me all that much, like a 20% K rate last year, is pretty bad. But when you throw 192 innings on that, it turns out to be pretty good in fantasy.
Yeah, he's one of those guys, if you go and get two studs that strike out a ton of people, you throw Berríos and his ratios in there with it, like, that's pretty strong when all things are said and done. So,
though you technically could have said the same thing about Chris Bassitt and Merrill Kelly last year.
Yeah, so. He definitely could. I do think, though, with Bassitt 35, Berríos 30 does help a little bit.
Agreed. Thomas perfectly is in alignment with me. I do not understand what to do with Berríos. And yeah, that's same.
All right. Now that we're kind of at a paused moment, the top 40 discussed, I am back on the clock. So let's make this second your pitch draft, here.
Your draft is nuts. When did it start? Like an hour ago?
Couple of, but yeah, we're on the turn. The early rounds go fast. But
all right, so who went?
Since I've picked, J-Rod went right after me. Then on the turn, Scooble Skeens. That's fun.
To the same team?
Yes, on the turn. And then Lindor just went before me. That was the guy I wanted.
So maybe now they're listening. Maybe team 14 is in the chat.
They could be. I don't know the last name. Very possible. But I'm looking at, like, I'm really high on Jackson Chourio. This might be too high, but I'm a fan of what we have there. So I'm tempted to go Jackson Chourio. There's Duran. Trey Turner is always fun. If I still want to attack shortstop. Then you got starting pitchers like Zach Wheeler, if I want to. Where would you go, Ryan? Because I'm kind of thinking I might splash with Chourio with Corbin. Ooh. Just for fun.
So Chourio's not making it back to you.
No, none of these guys are, I guess.
None of these guys are, but specifically Chourio. If it's me, I go Zach Wheeler.
Yeah.
Or Trey Turner. But
I think, go Turner to keep with my shortstop mentality. That should be where I'm at. We know I love Wheeler. I already took Wheeler before. So, yeah. I think I might take Trey Turner, even though Chourio, man, I think he's like the next Acuna.
Take him.
Yeah, screw it. We're going Jackson Chourio. Let's have some fun here. This is a November draft. Let's go. Corbin Carroll, Jackson Chourio on Team Bubba to start things off. Let's
Bubba, dance. Jackson Chourio guy.
Big fantasy, baby. Big fantasy over here. Watch out.
Big moves.
All right, back to your regularly scheduled program. I should not
Damn,
have
that's
another
Chourio in the early second. Holy
That's
crap.
Where we're at. That's his legit ADP. Like, through 11, through 11 DC so far, Jackson Chourio's ADP is 19. He's gone as high as 16, wow, as low as 36. That, because it's updated on the site now, like on the draft boards. So that is legit where he's going.
I thought in our meatball draft, which given that was in August.
Yep.
And we didn't get those kind of.
He was like a third rounder, right?
Legendary last 2 months. He was a third rounder in that one. So, Thomas, it's not a new min for Chourio.
Close, but not
Good
no cigar.
God, wow. All right. Yeah. So there two we outfielders. Go. You do realize there are other positions, right, Bubba?
Coming from the guy that took like five outfielders in the first seven rounds of a draft that he won the league in, by the way.
Hey, just making sure you know the rules.
Yep, we'll see. 50 rounds. We'll have some fun. All right, back to your regularly scheduled program, starting pitchers, part two. Pitcher number 41 at an ADP of 144, same as Jose Berríos, and he would have finished higher, I think, barring the injury/personal problem that kept him out for a while. And that is one Yu Darvish, finished 65th at the position, 3.31 ERA, 107 whip, 78 Ks in 81 innings. Was actually like resembling the Darvish of old, even at the age of 37. Age was one of the big reasons he kind of fell down, plus some injuries in 2023. I was loving the dip as a potential situation. So it was a bummer when he got hurt/personal stuff, obviously, but all in all, a pretty strong season. And I'm at 38. I'm still kind of interested going into 2025.
Yeah. Two of the biggest per pitch, or two really the only per pitch metrics I like to look at with pitchers is swinging strike and ball percentage. And for Darvish, this was his best swinging strike in the last 3 years and his second best ball rate, 33%. League average is 36%. So threw a ton of strikes, got a bunch of whiffs. And really, if it wasn't for the only 81 innings, if you double that with a full workload, he had a great year. All this missed time, it was a neck, it was a groin, and then the personal issues. Again, nothing really arm-related. So again, not to say that won't come back or whatever, but despite the age, I still think things are looking pretty rosy for Yu Darvish. And even if you took him last year to finish 65th in half a season when you took him 41st, it's not bad. It's not going to kill you.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Like it was fun. Just yeah, it was a bummer that he couldn't keep that run going. So I was thinking 140 innings that would have been a heck of a season for you, Darvish. All right, starting pitcher 42, ADP 154, finished 93rd of the position. This is Mitch Keller, 4.25 ERA, 1.3 WHIP, 166 Ks, and 178 innings, 159 innings or more in three straight years. I think with Mitch Keller, which you will probably dig into here, was awesome to start the year. Awesome. Final 2 months, boom goes to dynamite with Mitch Keller. So what do you got for us, Bloomfield?
Yeah, a lot of it. Yeah, yeah, that's you covered it well. This is probably the, yeah, so far, Jesus, we'll get to the name, two names down in just a minute. But so far, this is the worst performer non-injury-wise outside of Chris Bassett of this group. I don't know. Keller, I know our friend Corbin Young is a big Keller fan. I'm just lukewarm on him. He ended up with a lot of volume, which is great, but it was only 166 strikeouts and a lot of volume of those two ratios, 4.25 ERA, 1.30 WHIP. It's not hurting your team that much, but it's not helping.
No, it's just a bummer, like I said, because early on he was, bet you there's a lot of teams near the top of boards that had Mitch Keller on them, and they're sitting real happy with life. And he's one of those pitchers and players we talk about that probably should have been dropped at some point in like August and was not, and people might have kept pushing him out there and things got a little rough.
Yeah, the first second half, I mean, the kid walk was the exact same exact strikeout rate, same exact walk rate. Velocity was down a little bit, but this was all, I call them luck factors, but BABIP, strand rate, and homer to fly, all three went from fortunate to unfortunate. And that's how much those things can wreak havoc on an ERA and your surface stats when your underlying skills are the same. So that's actually a really good example of how much BABIP, strand, and homer to fly, all of which I don't think a pitcher has that much control over, can wreak havoc on those ratios.
Very fair. All right, 43rd pitcher off the board, ADP of 169. Ryan Pepio finished 57th at the position. Really strong season in first season in Tampa. 3.6 ERA, 1.15 WHIP, 142 Ks and 130 innings pitched. Made 26 starts. Had a little injury later in the season, but came back, made a couple more appearances. Love what we saw out of him this year. It's just one of those, will the Rays just let him be, or does he get the Rays syndrome and lose his elbow? How's this going to take place?
Staring at Ryan Pepio's forecaster box right now. It's editing Corbin's thing with it. Yeah, the Rays thing, like it probably shouldn't enter the equation, but it does scare me. Ryan Pepio finished strong, man. 2.62 ERA in the second half, but it was pretty luck fueled. I think this is probably who he is, like a mid threes ERA guy, decent WHIP because of the K to walk. But I don't know, a fine year, but nothing that like is terribly exciting. I wonder if the strong finish will inflate that draft price next year.
Oh, it definitely will inflate it because he finished so well. Former Dodger, now turned productive Ray. ADP's 165 right now. Going around,
so the exact same as last year.
Yep. Gone as high as 142. So maybe he didn't go as high, but I figured he'd be much higher. Maybe people are still kind of lukewarm or reading what you're reading. So very possible as well. All right. 44th pitcher off the board, ADP of 170. Finished 112 at the position. That's three digits, folks. 4.36 ERA, 1.3 WHIP, 149 Ks, and a whopping 100. It's just not even a K per inning, folks. Aaron Civale, Ryan, any thoughts on Aaron Civale?
Yeah, sir. He's gone back to a sir.
Yep.
He went from Cy to sir. This was a collapse, dude.
Then again, he didn't. He pitched better towards the end with Milwaukee.
I know. Well, that sucked me back in again because he finished strong in 23 when he got traded to the Rays and the strikeout rate was way up. I was like, hell yeah. And then it was like, hell no, in the first half. And then it went back to Milwaukee. And I don't know. I'm going to stop talking about Civale because it's just making you too happy right now.
Yep. We'll skip past Tristan McKenzie. Dude's broken. I it's bad. I got really nothing else to say. Finished 173rd at the position, ADP of 175.
Yep.
All right. The 46th pitcher off the board as we head to the other side of the Bloom board, ADP of 181. finished 35th at the position. Another one of Ryan's guys who Bloomboard famous a couple years back. Nathan Eovaldi, 3.8 ERA, 1.11 whip, 166 Ks, threw 170 innings, most since 2021. How are we feeling with Nate Eovaldi?
Yeah, original Bloomboard's legend, Nate Eovaldi. The theme around Eovaldi over the last few seasons was like great start. You'll get like three quarters of a season out of him, but around the All-Star break starts to kind of break down and then gets hurt, doesn't finish the season. That was not the case of with Eovaldi. Had 8 wins, 16 starts in the second half with a 106 whip. Like that'll play. Velocity held strong. Swinging strikes held strong. This was a very good season for a guy in his mid-30s, and he lasted pretty much the entire season. He spent some time on the IL, but it was early. It was most of May with a groin strain. So awesome year for Eovaldi. This was the year to get in. He'll get paid. I believe he's a free agent.
He's a free agent. So Texas wants him back. They've been very clear on that, but he is a free agent, yes.
Yeah. But yep, I'm happy for anyone who is a Bloomboard's legend. I like to see do well, even if it's a year or two after the fact.
There you go. The 47th pitcher off the board, ADP of 190, finished 71st at the position. Cutter Crawford of the Boston Red Sox, 4.36 ERA, 1.12 whip, 175 Ks and 183 innings pitched. It was a roller coaster. You got your strikeouts, ratios, struggle busted, 16 losses in his 33 starts.
Whoa, really?
Yep. 9 wins, 16 losses.
Yeah, it's a good pull. What do I have on Cutter Crawford? Handled the workload spike with ease, really. The second half, first half splits weren't that bad. And there was a pitch mix change. He joined the sweeper revolution. Threw the sweeper only 7% last year, up to almost 20% this season, and threw it for strikes. Missed bats with it, so that was a nice piece to give Cutter Crawford kind of that third pitch that he can rely on, which is important when you're making that transition to starting pitcher. So nice year by Cutter Crawford, despite the 4.36 ERA is nothing great, but a 1.12 WHIP certainly is. I think that ERA improves next year. Skills look good and kind of got bit a little bit with Strandright in the long ball. So good year for Cutter.
Most definitely. If you picked one pick later, you got Christopher Sanchez with an ADP of 191, 48th pitcher off the board, finished 53rd. Really strong season for Christopher Sanchez with no H, by the way. 3.32 ERA, 1.24 WHIP, 153 strikeouts and 181 innings. That's pretty much my biggest bugaboo is the K situation. We've talked about that plenty. Still very effective guy on the mound. And your guy, like you mentioned, so thoughts on Christopher Sanchez?
You kind of want to victory lap it because of the ERA, but we've talked about this. Like nothing else was really all that good. Yeah. Like the whip is okay. He did have 153 strikeouts, but that's because he pitched the entire season. This is someone who needs to throw 180 innings again to really be, I don't want to see fantasy viable, but for over a full season to be able to put that value up. So, yes, he worked out, but like it is very interesting to me. There was a lot of talk, but again, if you just, and it's so tempting just to look at ERA, you think this is like a breakout. Christopher Sanchez actually, right, did not return. I mean, finished 53rd and was drafted 48th. So like, I mean, a wash, but was not the breakout that I think a lot of us thought or were hoping for, but also certainly not a bad pick.
Yeah, no, he worked for you probably better in a 15 than a 12 because he's not really adding a ton in 12s, but definitely a stud having 15s. My guy who disappointed in a roundabout way is Brandon Pfaadt, ADP of 191, 49th pitcher off the board, finished 95th, 4.71 ERA, 1.24 WHIP, but 185 Ks, that was a plus, in 181 innings. His problem was BABIP to depth. We talked about it before, the home run was always an issue with Brandon Pfaadt, and outside of a great month in the middle of the season, didn't finish strong. I still have a lot of confidence in Brandon Pfaadt, but it's dwindling.
He did finish. See, that's the thing though. Like, I thought he finished strong in terms of skills. The velocity was up.
Yeah, right now.
Correct. But, velocity was up a full mile an hour, picked up 2 points on the swinging strike. Like, the K rate was way up. Brandon Pfaadt in the second half was actually pretty damn good, despite having a 5.26 ERA. That's why I'm going to be like completely back in again. I am almost kind of reading my forecaster box that I wrote up for Brandon Pfaadt. I threw an upside of him on a 350 ERA. So kind of sucks because, right, if we're looking back on 2024 and you had Brandon Pfaadt like you did, except in Tout Wars where you couldn't spell his name right.
P-F-A-D-D-T.
D-D-T.
I wanted to see if you're paying attention.
it sucks to not get the fruits of that, but with the 4.71 ERA and a 1.24 WHIP, because Brandon Pfaadt was a much better pitcher. I think, again, people who don't make good picks always say this: the process was right. I do think it was in this case. Still got 185 Ks out of the guy. I just think he's due for much better results next year.
Yeah, I still like him. Like I said, I'm not as pumped as I was last year, but I was pretty high on him last year. So kind of got, bring it back down to earth a little bit. But I do think there's still a lot of talent there. A guy I don't think there's a lot of talent with is a guy that's going to turn 42 in February, older than me, folks, Justin Verlander. ADP of 192 was the 50th pitcher off the board, 166th at the position. ERA of almost 5.5, WHIP of almost 1.4. 74 Ks and 90 innings pitched. This used to be a strikeout machine, not so fast. And the biggest thing I'll say, the selling point, is not even good enough to pitch on the postseason roster. So why is he going to be on your fantasy team? That's my thoughts.
Yeah, that was actually kind of tough to see. If you're a Verlander fan or just, whatever. I mean, is he even back with Houston? Actually, yeah,
he's a free agent. He wants to pitch, of course, but we'll see.
Yeah, Major league teams are smarter than we are, and if they look at just anything we're looking at with Justin Verlander's 2024, that's going to be an uphill battle. That said, Hall of Fame career. This is like kind of his retirement speech, maybe, but excellent career. Just you almost kind of don't want to see him keep going out there and struggling like this. It was tough to watch at the end.
Yes, it was. All right, 51 through 60. Here we come, Nasty Nestor. I can put it on a tee, Cortez. ADP of 192, 51st pitcher off the board. Finished 59th. He actually had a really good year. 3.77 ERA, 1.15 WHIP, 162 Ks. One of the better options back this far in the draft. Got hurt towards the end of the year. Will forever be known as the man that gave up the grand slam to Freddie Freeman in the World Series. But still a pretty good arm that, if he continues to get back and get healthy for the previous season, feels pretty good.
It does, and that'll cloud right the draft season for Nestor Cortez. But yeah, can't really complain with the results from this season. The ratios were fine. Not a breakout by any means, but I don't think we were expecting that. Nestor Cortez was perfectly cromulent, finishing in the top 60 as a 51 overall. I stole that one from Rob Silver. I'll admit.
All right, the 52nd pitcher off the board, ADP of 193, finished 205 at the position, the worst on this board. It's a guy I had a lot of shares of because I thought he was too cheap. Apparently, I should have stayed away. 6.23 ERA, 1.65 WHIP, 83 strikeouts in 117 innings. That's one. Jordan Montgomery, who I will say this much, is going to be pitching with so much anger at his own team this year. So what's your thoughts on Jordan Montgomery? You just picked up his $25 million option.
Yeah, my man may be pitching with anger, but he's doing quite well for himself. This was gross. This was gross. I have nothing else to say about it other than, I remember what I said about, who was it? Jose Berríos.
Yes.
Consistent guy, sudden ERA spike, and then went right back to where he was the following two seasons. Why can't Jordan Montgomery do that?
Oh, no, I'm very interested in a late round Jordan Montgomery.
I'm
full-heartedly, ADP's 390. I am very interested in Jordan Montgomery at 390.
Yeah. I am too. It does, we'll see. This is kind of more narrative stuff, but was not ready to pitch.
It's flat out said it. Came out and said
flat out said I had the late start. Looked like he put on a few extra pounds. Like it didn't, and I'm not just saying like it's just it he was not ready to pitch this season. And this could go one of two ways, right? He keeps getting paid and whatever. Or, kind of the fire inside who will be a free agent following next season again. Does he come back kind of like you said, angrier than ever, even if it is at his own team and pitches better in 25. But this was absolutely brutal for Jordan Montgomery, but I wouldn't give up on him totally.
Nope, not yet for sure. 53rd pitcher off the board, ADP of 195. If you waited and took him instead of Jordan Montgomery, you're pretty happy. Brian Wu finished 24th at the position. 2.89 ERA, by far the best on this half of the board. 0.9 whip is the best on this entire board. 101 strikeouts and 120 innings pitched. That's a little less than desired. But also, man, he had the forearm issues twice. It seemed like he was hitting out of Tommy John surgery multiple times throughout the year. And he's kept pitching, got the job done when he was out there. I'm still absolutely terrified of all things Brandon Wu.
Okay, because I am too. I am too. He was just living on the edge all season. It was just like, Wu is hurt. He has arm soreness. He's not going to go on the IL. Oh, wait, he's going to start. Oh, he just pitched 7 scoreless innings with like 6 Ks and 1 hit. That was basically the season for Brian Wu. And congrats if you were able to stomach that and have Brian Wu active for all those, because I'm sure some of those on Monday lineups, you're like, is he going to start this week? I have no idea. So that was frustrating. And then I don't want to go too hard because Brian Wu is, he's still good. Yeah. He's still good, but he's not a sub-3 ERA guy, sub-1 whip. Few are, but like Sierra's a full run higher, 375. Like I'm more willing to believe that. Just did not strike many batters out last season. A 21% K rate for Brian Wu. Like he's putting a lot of balls in contact or pitching to contact, putting a lot of balls in play. And it's hard to post these ratios when you do that.
Yep, totally agree with you there. The 54th pitcher off the board, ADP of 196, finished 98th at the position. Brian Bale, this is a guy that I've liked for 2 years now. I've been struggling with him. I actually dropped him in places last year and would stream him at times in 12s. 4.49 ERA, 1.36 whip, 153 Ks, and 162 innings. We saw the strikeouts get better, but the walks also got way worse this past year, kind of back to his 2022 style of ways. And he started getting a lot of long balls. It's very tilting because you'd see glimpses of Wu where he was very, very good, especially in the second half. He looked really good at times in the second half. But as a whole, the total product is not fully there yet.
Yep, agreed. And another big thing with Bayo is the drop in the ground ball rate was up from, it was at 56% first two seasons, which is awesome, which is what you want to see. That's part of the package with Bayo down, quote unquote, to 51%, which is still good. But like as you get in the upper 50s, it really helps lock in a good ERA. I think the changeup is still like an elite pitch for Brian Bayo. Pitchers or hitters are just laying off it. He's not throwing it for strikes. And I think he's just so reliant on that changeup that if it's not spot on or he's not throwing it for strikes, you start to see what happened with Bayo in 2024. So doesn't miss really any bats with the fastball. So it's all slider changeup. And once hitters kind of pick up on that, it's tough. That fastball has to improve for Bayo to get better.
Yep, hopefully he can find it because, you said the other pitchers are there. It just needs that one little thing to make it work. Talk about a guy that made a pitch mix change. Your 55th pitcher off the board, ADP of 200, finished 69th at the position is Luis Severino. 3.91 ERA, 1.24 whip, 161 Ks, 182 innings pitched, most since 2018. Yeah. Going to be a free agent this year, something to think about, but definitely I know Eric Skimolski highlighted his pitch mix change and along with the rest of the Mets in Arizona. And that stood out in a big way for Luis Severino.
It did. And Eric's talk at first pitch was pretty sweet. I had to leave towards the end, but it was really good. Bunch more sinkers, new sweeper for Luis Severino. So did look like a different guy out there. And that was a theme with the Mets, as we learned out at FPAS. Still don't think he was like all that great. Kind of my Ryan Feltner example of like, you can still change your pitch mix, but you still, it doesn't automatically mean you're going to be good or even better. Luis Severino, the big thing with him you mentioned was 182 innings. Like that's basically 100 more than what we saw last year, but still didn't really miss many bats. Right, 9% swinging strike, like that's pretty terrible. So I don't know what the like strikeout upside is with Severino, and so I don't know. I think he's just kind of like a marginal mid to late rotation guy for me.
Yeah, and it's like the pitch mix change is good. Where does he land? Are they going to keep the pitch? Like, right. How's that affect things? The big innings height after you know, all the injuries he's had throughout his time. Like, there's a lot of questions I have for Severino. Not to mention he's been very successful when he's had sticky stuff in his life. This might have been the first season without it. So I got to see things with Louis to become, you know, happy again. 56th pitcher off the board. AEP of 203 went super late due to injury and not starting the year. Those that avoided him did well. Finished 1.92 at the position. That's Walker Buehler, 5.38 ERA, 1.155 whip, and 64 Ks in 75 innings, but had the postseason heard around the world.
Yeah, so that's great. Right.
But I'll say this much. ADP is only 292 right now, so okay. Not that inflated.
I haven't looked, and yeah, that's what I was going to come back and ask you. Is like
as high as 232, so still lower than last year.
It's so easy to look at someone's postseason performance and buy into it. I don't know. Walker Buehler was a train wreck this season, and I don't think a couple of appearances in the postseason, especially like closing out game, what was it, game five was the last game. Like, that means nothing to me. Yeah. So this was a very rough season for Walker Buehler. As John in the chat finished very high in our Bubba and the Bloom listener leagues, says just say no to Buehler, and it hasn't been good in a long time. And I agree. It's bad.
Yeah, I've been anti Buehler for a while, so not going to deny that. I've been pretty anti Buehler, so totally on board.
I mean, does the postseason change anything for you?
It would make me more interested in a late round dart compared to where I would never would have drafted him to begin with. I'll say that, but I'm not going to force my hand. If someone wants to go jump and get him, knock yourself out.
Yeah.
It's kind of where, like, I'd rather wait another like 100 picks and get Jordan Montgomery and see what happens.
So I would too. That's actually a good comp. I would definitely do that too. Yep.
Yeah, because right now at 232 versus what I said, 390, you're talking 160. That's 10 rounds in a 15. Like, that's a lot of importance right there. So I could see that as well. All right, this one's very polarizing for me. Kyle Harrison of the San Francisco Giants, 57th starting pitcher off the board, finished 203 ADP, same as Walker Buehler, finished 126. Now, this was a fun year, 4.56 ERA, 1.34 whip, 118 Ks, first full season for Harrison. He threw 124 innings, had some injuries, finished hurt, supposed to be fine, everything I've seen, nothing there. But, like, you look at his month by month, because it's like with a young pitcher, I guess I'm just curious in how he adapts. Middle of the season, pitched very, very well. Very, very well. At least the results showcased very, very well. And then it kind of fell backwards again. I didn't know if it was tired, hurt, a lot of things in play there. I'll get your thoughts, because I'm very biased on Kyle Harrison, but I am still a fan of this kid. I think there's a lot of talent there. What's your thoughts on Harrison?
I mean, I'm just more curious in it, because he was a big strikeout guy in the minors, right?
Big strikeout, but walk issues in the minors. That was the big thing with him. And the strikeouts didn't really follow except for certain games. Like, he's flipped the switch and got things going at certain points. When I look at these month-to-month splits, and you can start seeing, like, in June the walks are better, but most of the season in July, almost a 27% K rate, 24% in August. Rest of the months, pretty much nothing.
I mean, I'm looking at the month-to-month, too, and every month last season, Kyle Harrison failed to post an above-average swinging strike rate.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird, because Kyle Harrison was touted as this, as you said, big strikeout guy, and the control was iffy. He has not shown the ability at all to miss bats in the majors, has a swinging strike less than 10 in both seasons. That's like,
not good.
So yes, he's kind of solved the walk issue, like it's league average, but I think when we say he needed to work on his control, we were also kind of assuming the strikeouts would be there. Now he's just got an average walk rate with an average strikeout rate, and it's like, I don't know. Until Kyle Harrison, until he starts missing some bats, I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. Much. And he finished the year on the IL with a shoulder injury, so I'll have to kind of wait and see there, obviously. But I'm with you. Like, I still believe there's some skills there. It's just not panning out, to say the least. All right, a couple more to go here. Talk about a guy that's not panning out consistently. And on the left side, Reed Detmers was at ADP of 207, 58th pitcher off the board, 195, worse than Walker Buehler at the position. Let that sink in for a couple seconds. 6.7 ERA, 1.56 whip, and 109 strikeouts in 87 innings pitched. Had a couple amazing starts just to like suck everybody in and then boom, blow it back up. This is a guy that we actually can see the skills from time to time, Ryan. We just have zero consistency with said skills.
Yeah, kind of gave that giant FU to all fantasy managers at the end with that infamous two-step where the White Sox just destroyed them. And I don't know what happened the second one, but I don't think it was good. Doesn't really matter at that point. Exactly. That was with like two or three weeks left in the year. So that was interesting to see online folks' reactions. No, terrible year for Detmers. This is kind of like a bad Nick Pivetta. Like you still like That's the skills fair. And the skills still look, I mean, semi-decent. Pitched well in the minors and came back up and pitched well, like you said, and then gave it all back. But this is someone, I don't know what the ADP is, but like, for Detmers, I mean, he's got a 28% strikeout rate this season. That's huge.
Detmers 384.
I'm in. Yeah. I'm in.
I've always loved the strikeout skills. It's just like, can you just figure out? It's like it's an Angels thing. We've talked probably. Patrick Sandoval. Like, just don't walk, dudes. Like, you're good. Just don't. Jose Soriano kind of had it this past year. My boy Griffin Canyon's going to thrive in Atlanta. There's so many just so close pitchers in the Angels that it's amazing.
Yeah, I at that price at around 400, you're not going to find someone with. Who can strike guys out and even the walk rate, like, I don't know, ball percentage is league average or better. Like, I don't know. He may still continue to get crushed, probably will, but Reed Detmers, there's something there at least, unlike some of these other guys going around him.
Like, it's a fun range. I know we're not doing the preview, but just like at 379 is Valdo Beto, then at 383 is Kramer, then Detmers. Tyler McGill at 385, the potential Sugano at 389, Jomo at 389, Frankie Montas at 389. That is a
heck Jomo of a... or Detmers. You know, one of those guys is going to break out again this year.
I go
which one? I don't know, but one. Of
I
them
have
a will. Bet,
I have more confidence in Jomo breaking out, but Detmers has the better strikeout skills. I kind of lean Detmers at that point. In a DC, I'd probably take Jomo just because he'll be in the majors all year unless he gets hurt. Detmers go back to AAA again. Yeah. Yes. But in a fab league, I want Detmers. I'll take my chances and drop them if I have to.
I'll be back in. Fool me thrice. But
That's wild. Wild stuff. All right. The 59th pitcher off the board, ADP of 210. Finished 199 at the position. Kenta Maeda, I don't have a lot to say here. Above 6 ERA, 1.4 whip, 96 Ks. Pitched out of the bullpen. Pitched hurt. You name it, he did it.
You name it, he did it, except pitch well. So that's it.
A fun one here is the 60th pitcher off the board, and I'm still shocked he went this late. I guess there's questions about his health, what he pitched, so on and so forth. This Chucky, Charlie Morton, 211 ADP, finished 108 at the position. Actually, that's pretty darn good, all things considered. 4.19 ERA, 1.32 whip, 167 Ks, which is down for Charlie compared to previous years, but he only had 165 innings pitched. That is his fourth, you don't count 2020, sixth straight year of at least 160 innings pitched, which is what he does. We don't know if he's pitching in 2024 or 2025, but what's your thoughts on what we saw in 2024 from Charlie Morton?
I mean, just an okay season. Like, the K rate still continues to go down. I mean, the dude is 40, so you would expect this to happen. The skills are kind of, they're not, I don't want to say unraveling, but they're starting to, and I don't see how that gets better. Like, I'd rather Morton than Verlander next year, assuming 100%. They both pitch.
100%.
If we're going with the if we're taking a ride on the senior tour here, but Morton no longer excites me. I just we're seeing a decline, and at 41 or whatever he's going to be, that's probably not coming back.
Nope, I don't think so either. All right, there is 31 through 60, Ryan. Any other thoughts on this section of starting pitching?
No, like I said, that last group was kind of brutal, 40 through 60. Like, and I think a lot of times we think of all these late breakouts, like a Ranger Suarez, who I believe will be in the next show. Even the guys in this group who broke out, it's like, oh, I can find pitchers later. Like, not really. Like, you can, but there are a ton more. We just listed a ton of them from the 40 to 60 range who, even if they didn't like destroy you, you used one of your roster spots on them and they just kind of toiled. So it is so important to nail these mid-round pitchers and then hit on a few late, but easier said than done, given the returns that we're looking at with this group.
All righty. We did have one question from last night on the old Twitter. It's from Thomas Travato, who's in the chat here. I think he asked it earlier and we answered it, but he says, this is my guy, Shota. Love him. Thought he would win Rookie of the Year in Cy, but he faded down the stretch a little bit. He's only going to get stronger. Now, what do we do with Pivetta? I think we answered that question for him on the show. That you can reiterate again if you'd like.
Yeah, we stay on. We buy back in. We forge on with Nick Pivetta. I think he's really good.
Hold the line, folks. Go hold the line, Braveheart. GIF. Hold, and then buckle up, Buckaroo.
We do have Michael in the chat here saying there's a 10 p.m. Eastern Gladiator draft. I think live, they're doing Friday night live ones. If anyone wants to join that one, it's 13 out of 15 filled. I'll speak for you and me that neither of us will be in there because 7 o'clock is kiddo time. But yeah, and we will do, I'm sure once we're done with reviews, we'll do some live ones and probably like a Patreon listener league type one too as well. So be on the lookout for that. It is Gladiator season. And for those who are not aware what the Gladiator is, it's the NFBC's kind of new format, maybe second, third year they've been doing it, where you just draft 23 players and that's your team for the whole season. So there's fill out your season roster. Management. Yeah. $50 draft, really fun to do and kind of a way to kind of practice, but also just kind of pass time in these soon to come winter doldrums.
And it's usually, I believe, sometime middle, early December, they're done.
Yeah, so they shut them out. Window. Yeah, I think they last year they leaked into January, but there won't be many.
But we did a couple. They made them for us to start at around 8:30 our time, so we could get the kids to bed and make it work. So we'll keep you guys posted on that. We'll drop them in the Discord, let people know what's going on there. So if you want to check that out, you got to go to patreon.com/BubbaBloom. Also, if you're not in the Discord, it'll get thrown out there eventually, but we'll let them know first kind of the perks of helping us out. We'll get you taken care of as well. All right, Ryan, we're going to wrap it up there. We'll be back next week to finish starting pitchers, talk relievers. Anything else you got on the agenda, anything on the mind before a wonderful weekend ahead?
Yeah, it's almost happy hour. That's what's that's...
after the way this week's going and last night went.
You may need to back up the truck with some noons and get Bubba fueled up.
Yep. Yeah, it's gonna noons are in the fridge, so that might be happening tonight.
We're already prepped. I like
it. Yes, but all right, we'll wrap it up there. Hope you all have a great weekend. Again, check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. I am at BDentric. Until next time, this was Bubba and the Bloom, episode 185. Catch y'all later.